Welcome back to another edition of Student Body Right, the complete college football podcast. I am your host, as always, Nick Valinchek, better known as Nick from CWE. And I'm excited to talk about the 2019 college football season. It's right around the corner, just 2 days away. 2 days away, who am I kidding? 5 days away, 4 days away. This is coming out Tuesday. So I'm recording Monday, 5 days away, Tuesday, 4 days away. The point is, it's right around the corner. So what I want to do is take some time today, and I want to start breaking down some of these conferences. And really, at the end of the day, it's going to be a quick podcast. It's not going to be all-encompassing like I would like. My expectations were to start this a lot sooner and be able to go through one-on-one each conference, thoroughly break down the teams. But you play the hand that you're dealt. So I'm going to go through and just talk about a few teams and a few situations here. First up, we've got the Cincinnati Bearcats. Let's just start this way. American Athletic Conference should be an interesting one. I think there's definitely some teams here that obviously will have some appeal in a multitude of ways. Actually, quite a few, just looking at it. I mean, number one, you have the UCF Knights. Okay, so obviously Mackenzie Milton is out for the year, maybe for good. Haven't really heard for sure that he's going to be back. I will say this. It sucks when a player of his caliber loses a season. But, man, does it get really exciting to know that the following season they'll be around. So, wish them the best in recovery. 2020 looking bright, because Mackenzie Milton could see still be in the fold here. But this team's was full of fantasy goodness last year. I expect it to be the same way this year. I expect Brandon Wimbush to start. We saw mixed results at Notre Dame. He's got a good surrounding cast. A little bit better of a situation in terms of competition, but I really like him. Greg McCray, I think, is a guy who stands out most to me in the backfield, but he will still be splitting time with Adrian Killens, most likely. Watch, with all I know, Killens is off to the pros, though I don't think he is. I think he still has another year left. I'm trying to check just so. Yeah, Killens, McCray. Then at the receiver position, Gabriel Davis kind of shocked a little bit last year, as I thought that, you know, the pecking order was certainly going to be Dedrick Snelson and then everyone else. But really, Davis is the one that kind of emerged. Snelson dealt with some injuries throughout the year. He's moved on. We'll see what Trey Nixon can do. He had a decent start to the year, but Milton was I want to say that Milton overthrew him a lot. If Milton was more accurate specifically to Trey Nixon, I think he could have had a bigger year. Elsewhere around the conference, Holton Ahlers at East Carolina should be a pretty impressive situation there. USF should be interesting. I think that there's definitely some upside there for fantasy for Blake Barnett, who's been in at least six or seven different teams, it feels like. UConn should still be awful, so there's a plus there. I'm expecting a little less out of Michael Warren at Cincinnati than we saw. I think that's something to kind of maybe keep our eyes on, is I think a lot of people are expecting Mike Warren to really have like a huge year, and I think he'll have a big year, but I think that there may be more mouths to feed in that backfield. Desmond Ridder as well, a very solid quarterback. On the west side of the conference, De'Arik King might be the number one most exciting player in the country, depends on how you look at things. Don't know how they managed to get Dana Holgorsen away from West Virginia, but I would expect that situation to be very, 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 very powerful, and I expect that offense to be good. You'll want to use them in daily fantasy whenever we get the opportunity to. Memphis, despite losing Daryl Henderson, I think Patrick Taylor should still have a monster year. And I really think that there's the possibility and the potential that you see someone else. Either one of two things is going to happen. Either another running back is going to emerge, and they're going to kind of take the Patrick Taylor role from last year, potentially even the Tony Pollard role from last year, or you're going to see a big uptick in production from Brady White, who otherwise hasn't really lived up to the calling that we've seen out of Paxton Lynch and Riley Ferguson over the past few years. SMU, James Prochet is still a stud. He's a guy we're going to be using all the time. And Tulsa, you know, the Dane Evan years, now starter for the CFL Hamilton Tiger Cats. I'm going to record an episode 5 days a week. And it is my life's ambition to make sure I drop somehow a Canadian Football League reference. I'm like the one American who absolutely loves Canadian football. Maybe it's because I win money in it. You know, that's probably a huge motivator for me. But the last time we really saw Tulsa do anything is on the back of Dane Evans, and we had some great years. D'Angelo Brewer at the running back position, and you know, Kiaris Garrett and Kevon Lucas, Josh Atkinson at the wide receiver group was just awesome. And I mean, you know, Zach Smith, Baylor transfer coming over, I think there's some huge upside there. If he rights the ship and it turns back into the old Tulsa that we saw for a few years, Keelon Stokes, wide receiver, should be a top tier name that we'll start to hear more about. So that's going to be an interesting situation. The ACC, you got to start with the reigning and defending national champion Clemson Tigers, and they're playing basically no one this year. So it should be, you know, a fairly tame. Yeah, I'm looking at they play some ranked opponents, but I mean, come on, like, let's not try to make it out to be like it's something that's going to be overly difficult. They're at home against Texas A&M, second week of the season. Then they're away to Syracuse, which could be one of their bigger tests. And then the rest of it's not that intimidating. It's really not. So I think they stand a pretty good shot. But like I said in the last episode, for those of us who play fantasy, it's going to be really testy to see how often we're going to be able to use guys like Travis Etienne and how that will really manifest itself. I think receivers are generally just a little bit safer. They can be a little bit safer because typically you're not going to be – I don't think we're going to see Justin Ross – priced up at 9,400 so that, you know, he's going to have an absolute smash week. Whereas Etienne will almost certainly, you know, T. Higgins isn't going to be priced up there. So we'll get these guys at like mid range prices, probably in the mid sixes at best. So they're a little more playable. Whereas, you know, Trevor Lawrence just isn't going to be, he's going to need to have ceiling games where he's likely to be priced. Florida State, son of Briles, Kendall Briles, offensive coordinator. I mean, I think there's a lot of hope that we can finally see some return to relevance for Florida State. There's talent there. Tamarion Terry has a ton of upside, I feel. Cam Akers. So we'll see what can really happen there. I think Louisville has some hidden potential. Juwan Pass could take a step forward. Hassan Hall. You know, these are guys that really aren't getting a ton of respect right now just because of the fact that it's been a couple of down years for the program ever since, you know, Lamar Jackson left. So Syracuse is a team that I'm really, really high on. Solid offense. Tommy DeVito likely to step in. They've got more receivers than we can name, which oftentimes presents a massive problem because when they're in good matchups and you want to play a receiver, unless we get an alpha that they really stick to, it's going to be tough sledding to determine which one to play. Wake Forest, always good because they're awful on defense and they possess some solid offensive power. We saw Sage Surratt have a really nice year last year. You get Scotty Washington back. Cade Carney now has the backfield to himself with Matt Colburn gone. And I believe they just named Jamie Newman their starting quarterback this year over Sam Hartman. So I think there's some solid potential there. Duke's going to be replacing top draft pick Daniel Jones with, I believe, Quentin Jackson. I'm probably horribly busting that up. But I think there's certainly some upside there. Unfortunately, wide receiver Jake Bobo fractured his ankle. He looks like he's going to be out. It's Quentin Harris. I'm sorry, not Quentin Jackson. He's going to be out. I think that really opens, like, firmly puts in and out of the transfer portal Aaron Young firmly into to play as the number one. And then it's going to be a lot of trying to read over the next 10 days a lot of the beat reporters to let us know how things are breaking down there. Georgia Tech moving away from the triple option, and so that's going to be something new. I'm hoping we can kind of benefit from people thinking that Georgia Tech runs a triple option still, and you know, we get some advantage there. Other than that, there's a lot of teams that just don't overly excite me with the ACC. But if you want to talk excitement, you're talking about the Big 12. And top to bottom, as far as I'm concerned, this is the most complete fantasy conference. I think that pretty much everybody there each team has someone with a ton of upside. Baylor saw Charlie Brewer have a fantastic year 2018. 2019 should be even better because he's not going to be spending time with Jalen McClendon. So that's a plus. Iowa State, sans David Montgomery, but Brock Purdy was a revelation throughout the year. Kansas should have Puka Williams. Kansas State's probably the bigger question mark of all things. So we'll have to kind of keep eyes and ears out to see how that molds over the next few weeks here. James Gilbert and Riley Neal transferred there from Ball State, I believe. I don't think I'm crazy saying that. I think that happened. At least James Gilbert did. Oklahoma, Jalen Hurts, CeeDee Lamb, Kennedy Brooks, Trey Sermon. The list goes on and on. They'll be full. Spencer Sanders expected to start over Drew Brown for Oklahoma State. They've still got Tylan Wallace. Chuba Hubbard was a great play down the stretch. TCU, who knows what the quarterback's going to be, but having Jalen Reagor is going to be a plus for them. Well, we discussed the Texas Longhorns briefly when we broke down the introductory podcast, Sam Ellinger, Colin Johnson, Keontae Ingram, and a slew of some potential younger guys breaking through as that RB2 wide receiver 2 component to Colin Johnson. Texas Tech going to be the most interesting situation in that conference. Moving on from Cliff Kingsbury, who ultimately was well-known for being a big-time air raid system. Now we're going to move, we're going to get a new coach in here in Matt Wells coming over from Utah State, who had a really good year with Jordan Love last year. I don't expect that much of a drop-off. West Virginia, that'll be an interesting situation. They've lost pretty much all of their talent, but and their head coach. So there's definitely some room for concern there. Jack Allison expected to be near the lead in the quarterback race there. Big Ten Conference, you know, just looking through this, it's actually kind of a little bit of a letdown. I mean, you get to like Michigan, where, you know, you're hoping Shea Patterson is going to be the guy that we thought he was going to be, but you look around him and there's no real like, hey, this is going to be his guy. I expect that team to be better, but it's just tough to say exactly how that's going to go. Ohio State, Justin Fields named starting quarterback today. I think that they'll be giving him a pretty long leash as they do with most of their quarterbacks because it takes them some time to get settled in. I mean, Dwayne Haskins was a one-year quarterback. Justin Fields will probably be more than that, but he still needs to get settled in. Penn State, you're looking at a situation where they'll be replacing not just Trace McSorley who left, but Tommy Stevens who opted to transfer. Miles Sanders is gone as well. The thought was that Ricky Slade was going to take over and be the guy. The problem with that philosophy is that he kind of he's good, and I think there's potential there, but I've heard a lot of talk about them going RBBC, so that's tough. Iowa will have good tight ends. Tyler Johnson will be good at Minnesota. A ton is expected out of Adrian Martinez this year. He's going very, very high in fantasy drafts. I expect that to be a prolific offense and an awful defense, which is always a recipe for fun games to watch. Purdue, we know about Rondale Moore, so that's going to be a guy we're watching, and Jonathan Taylor in Wisconsin, firmly on our radar. Conference USA, I'm actually not going to touch on this too much. There's a lot of change going on there. We've got some new coaching at Western Kentucky, who used to be a powerhouse. Middle Tennessee is going to be moving on from Brent Stockstill, son of the coach. So it's going to be a whole new era, because I believe he was a four-year quarterback there. Florida Atlantic will see life without Devin Singletary and Kareth White, who have both opted for the NFL. North Texas still has Mason Fine and has some solid receivers there, though we have seen some of them move on to the NFL as well. And UAB, who was kind of a out of nowhere after being reinstated, always has some upside as well. Moving right along with the independents, Notre Dame Fighting Irish with Ian Book, Chase Claypool, Chris Finke, Jafar Armstrong, Tony James. Why do I forget that? Why do I forget his name? I know I played Jafar Armstrong like a lot. I just can't think of off the top of my head who exactly the other running back. Jafar Armstrong, Tony Jones. That was close. Tony Jones Jr. So that's really all. It's a Liberty is an interesting a school. I don't suspect we're going to see them a lot, but Hugh Freeze is coaching there now. So they've got Buckshot Calvert, senior quarterback. Antonio Candy Golden is their number one, will likely have a big year. So that's really all. I mean, you know, the rest of these teams are kind of UMass is going to be a team that whenever we see them on the schedule, we want to target against, because their defense is just historically awful every single year, like Connecticut bad. The MAC, you know, I'm a little bit frustrated and disappointed, because at the end of the day, I live in Northeast Ohio. And, you know, Akron, Bowling Green, Kent State, Miami, Ohio, Ohio Bobcats. I think Ball State even might be in the state of Ohio. But I've really fallen completely out of touch with what is going on at a lot of these schools. I think Nathan Rourke at Ohio is still a guy that is near the top of fantasy quarterbacks. I think Bowling Green is likely to take a step forward to what they used to be back in the day. I also think that you'll see some fantasy goodness out of Mike Glass at Eastern Michigan. And I think that the Northern Illinois, man, back in the day, Northern Illinois was the spot, right? Jordan Lynch, awesome, awesome player. Fun to watch. Wednesday night max, and those days are gone. This team scores like 18 points and they give up 13. Always slugfest with them. Never very fun to watch. Moving on to the Mountain West. Boise State, the preeminent, kind of situation there. And it's going to be interesting to see if Chase Cord is able to return from, I believe, a torn ACL last year. Biggest thing with them is that they have not really had like a mobile quarterback like Cord before. So it would really be interesting to see how that really goes. Colorado State over the last couple of years have, you know, for the most part been producing some pretty solid wide receivers. Most recently, Preston Williams and Olabisi Johnson. Now they'll probably turn it over to Nate Craig Myers, although I thought I heard something about maybe him being hurt or falling down the depth chart. Regardless, they do have Warren Jackson, so that'll be a fun situation. Always fun games there with a horrible defense. Utah State Aggies, like I said, Jordan Love should continue his onslaught. Gerald Bright likely to see a little bit of a bigger role with Darwin Thompson off to the NFL. Zadian Valade at Wyoming is a guy we're going to pay some attention to. I think they'll be running the football like usual, and they always seem to manage to have some solid running backs. The Hawaii Rainbow Warriors, week zero, they're in that stud-filled game with Arizona. Cole McDonald had a farm, and he's got plenty of receivers with Cedric Bird, JoJo Ward, and we've got Melquise Stovall and Schirsch. fighting for that kind of last position. So we'll find out this week what that's going to look like. Any one of those guys are going to be in play. And in fact, this week, and that game should be so high scoring that I don't hate stacking the three main receivers with Cole McDonald in tournaments and just going from there. We'll see if San Diego State kind of picks the rushing up. It was the first time in a long time their running attack felt underwhelming. So we'll see what they're able to do there. Moving on from there, the Pac-12. We will see the Oregon Ducks, Justin Herbert. I think they've got a better team than they've had in a while. We'll see how that goes. Rumors of C.J. Verdell falling down the depth chart and it becoming more of a 1A, 1B situation is certainly something worth mentioning. We'll probably talk more about that as the actual season really kind of closes in. But, you know, I think I heard Travis Dye was the one who was kind of catching up with him and making it more of a competition. Juwan Johnson, maybe he can finally do something this year. We saw, you know, a variety of these other guys kind of produce when given the opportunity last year. So we'll see what this year looks like. Oregon State's still going to be an awful defense, plays running backs against them. Stanford, I expect a little bit of a step forward from them. It was a really bad year last year for a multitude of reasons. I think another year, a better offensive line than they had last year. I think it'll restabilize, and Colby Parkinson is going to win some people some money this year. Washington moving on to Salvin Ahmed. That should be a nice changeup from Miles Gaskin. And we have Gage Gubrud really was expected to kind of come in and be that guy, just like we saw last year with Gardner Minshew. And now we're hearing reports out of the scrimmage that Anthony Gordon, Mike Leach believes Anthony Gordon played better than him. So we'll see what develops there. Arizona State, you know, Benjamin's the guy there. We see Manny Wilkins and N'Keal Harry move on. Will Khalil Tate return back to some semblance of 2017? We hope so. Laviska Shenault and Steven Montez, who I'm not a huge fan of, make out that team. And a lot of people's favorite underdogs for the playoffs, the Utah Utes and Zach Moss, should be an interesting situation. Just briefly to touch on the Sun Belt, I feel bad. I'm not trying to throw shade at them, but just not a lot I'm really going to talk about right now. But typically we do get like a couple of good schools that will flirt with the top 25. Appalachian State, always remembered for their defeat of a top-ranked Michigan team back in, I believe, 2007. Georgia Southern has also, similar to Georgia Tech, moved away from the triple option and more toward a passing offense, which still confuses me to this day. Finally, we'll arrive with the SEC. I think there's a lot of upside teams here. I don't like anything about the Florida Gators. It'll be interesting to see what Jake Fromm this year is going to do with Georgia. All of his receivers except for Demetrius Robertson apparently decided it was better to go to the NFL, which I'm not going to disagree with them on. Kentucky's kind of my favorite team out of this group. I think that Terry Wilson is going to be a stud this year. I think that Lynn Bodden is someone that we'll be talking about, and we might get surprised with Asim Rose and see him really develop into something special. Missouri, another, you know, with Jalen Hurts transferring this summer, I think that Kelly Bryant going to Missouri was kind of under the radar. He joins Arkansas transfer. Jonathan Nance, who cost me a lot of money the first few weeks of the season by never being ruled out until the game was starting, and then eventually being told that he was transferring. That offense should be good. The defense should be bad. Vanderbilt, probably the best offense to target, I think, in the SEC, because all of their production is pretty much around three players: tight end Jared Pickney, wide receiver Kalijah Lipscomb, and probably a guy that can win us some money early on in the season for sure, Keyshawn Vaughn. I think he's going to be underpriced as the year starts, and I do think that, generally speaking, people will not buy into him because of how poorly he was used in this offense last year. Alabama, like we said, super easy schedule, super hard to trust them for fantasy purposes. I'll still use a lot of guys like Jalen Waddle, especially Jerry Jeudy, without Tua, just because I think the receivers are more likely to get it done and have big games than we will see out of Tua, I think Brian Robinson is eating into Najee Harris's potential dominance in the backfield. So that's something to heavily consider there. I think he's going to be one of my favorite week one tournament plays just because he's more likely to go further into the game. You know, Mississippi State Bulldogs should see Tommy Stevens come over. Kylan Hill in the backfield should present a good situation for some good production and good games. LSU is going to be LSU. They're going to run the ball. I feel like they're a complete headache right now because Joe Burrow's wanted to pass last year and the running backs didn't perform how we expected them to, and it's really confusing to know how that's going to work this year because there's a lot of high-end younger running backs on the roster, so we could see really crowded backfield. Ole Miss loses Jordan Te'amu. Matt Corral should really, really do well. He's one of my favorite plays to start the year, and especially week one against Memphis. This is a really smash matchup for daily fantasy purposes. They could use a lot of Scotty Phillips, and I think they will, but I also think that Corral is a guy who could put together a really, really nice a really nice season, a really nice game, and they've got some talent there with Braylon Sanders at the receiver position, as well as Elijah Moore, and I'm sure that we'll get a third that kind of appears as the season goes on. And finally, the Texas A&M Aggies. Kellen Mond was uncertain as a starter last year. It was really between him and Nick Starkle, and it ended up being Mond. We'll see Travion Williams, who was just a badass there last year, move on. And Jayshon Corbin is a guy we're going to look at. Their receiving situation is extremely fluid. It's not an alpha in the house. It's just a bunch of guys who can all put together big games, which makes it tough for daily fantasy purposes because you kind of have to have a few shares of everybody and hope that you played the right one and the right lineup. So, yeah, certainly excited for the year. That is my 2019 breakdown, mostly fantasy related or, you know, fantasy skewed. I probably did it in under 30 minutes, which I'm extremely proud of. Hopefully it's like 20. I'll be back tomorrow. These are going to get more formulaic and a little bit more in depth. I just basically took 20 to 30 minutes to break down something that I anticipated taking 5 weeks to do. So next year is definitely going to be a lot different, but I'm super excited. Thanks for listening. Make sure to check us out online at StudentBodyWrite. That's RITE.com. Check us out on Twitter and Facebook at StudentBodyWrite. You can check me out at Nick from CWE. And we'll be back tomorrow when I break down how to play daily fantasy college football.